Monday night travel on Nightlife.
Tonight, we're off to the most romantic city in the world, at least that's what they say, the City of Love, Paris. Known for its famous landmarks and extraordinary scenery, it's a foodie's paradise, it's a style place, it's also got some of the greatest museums in the world. And if you're a fashion lover, of course, you'll be pleased to know that there's an entirely new museum dedicated to Christian Dior. Travel writer Uta Juncker went there recently. She joins us this evening. Uta, good evening and welcome back to Nightlife.
Phil, always a delight to be with you.
Yes, a pleasure. For those who haven't been to Paris before, there'll be plenty. Paint a picture for us.
Oh, my goodness. All right. The thing about Paris is I reckon it's perhaps the best city in the world for walking. So you've got running through the middle of it. You've got the slowly snaking Seine River with these beautiful long walkways along it. And then you've got all these different neighbourhoods with this. The centre of Paris is so beautifully preserved and each neighbourhood has its own feel. So in one, you've got these grand Belle Epoque sort of apartment buildings. Then you might go to the Marais, which has a small medieval feel. And the thing about Paris is you have these images in your head. You think you're going to see, you know, flirty Frenchmen strolling along and elderly ladies with their poodles and people sitting in sidewalk cafes just watching the world go by. And you know what? That's exactly what you get. It's a city that really lives up to its reputation.
You're right, though, isn't it? Because the central part of Paris, I mean, it has many, many suburbs, of course, but that central part of Paris around Notre Dame and the Seine and so on, it can easily be walked, can't it? And almost all the major things you can walk to.
Absolutely. That's part of the joy. And I mean, look, if you're not a great walker, you can hop on the metro, but I just really think you're going to have a much better experience. It's fairly easy to get to choose one landmark and then you can sort of see the next landmark and you head in that direction. And then around every corner, there's some charming scene or, you know, an amazing patisserie window filled with delights or a fantastic medieval church. And that joy of discovery is something that really defines Paris for me.
Yes, there are a lot of landmarks, aren't there, in Paris? And you know, there's a temptation to check them off, I suppose. You can go and look at the Eiffel Tower. Do you think it's worth going up?
Look, I think it's worth going up at least once. But for me, the delight of going up the Eiffel Tower isn't so much the view. It's that, have you ever done it, Phil?
I did it once, yes.
Do you remember that feel as you go up in the elevator and you're looking at the struts that are supporting it?
And you realize
this thing that you see from pretty much everywhere in Paris and always looks so lacy and delicate and airy. You look at it and you go, gosh almighty, this is one hell of a piece of engineering.
It sure is. It sure is too, yeah. That's right. It's hard to say you shouldn't see things in Paris, isn't it? Because there is so much to see, and a week in Paris is not enough. Yes, it's really the sort of place that you need to decide. Well, I'll make a list of the things I am going to see because you can't see everything. Well, in a week you couldn't see everything. You'd need a year, I think, to see everything. But if you make a list of some of the things at least and check those off, that makes for a better trip, do you think?
Absolutely. But I think the trick is not to put too much pressure on yourself. I would say not more than one major item a day.
Yes.
And that may be, I mean, gosh, you know, if we're talking, say, the Louvre, you can spend all day in there and barely scratch the surface. But make getting there part of the adventure and exploring what's around it. And so, you know, if you do go to, I don't know, the Picasso Museum, for instance, that's in the Marais, and you're going to want to look at all those little winding streets and go see, you know, what's down this way, and if I double back that way, what's down there? And, oh, that building looks really interesting, and what is that? And that's going to give you far more bang for your buck than running around town trying to make sure you've crossed off every single thing.
Yes. Anyway, look, let's talk about some of the things. There's a new Christian Dior museum. Tell us about that. Tell us about
Well,
that.
this is really interesting because I'm a little bit skeptical usually when it comes to all sorts of fashion exhibitions because it's often just a branding exercise. But
Yes.
what's happened here is actually really impressive. So what they did, this is over on over in the main head. So there's, I don't know, a dozen Dior shops probably in Paris. It seems sometimes you walk down one street and you can see three of them. It's quite mind-blowing. But this is the original atelier. And they've spent a couple of years renovating it. And there's several stories of if you want to go and have the shopping experience or the browsing experience for those of us who don't have the budget, you can do that. There's a cafe in there, there's a restaurant in there, there's shoe departments and glove departments and all of that sort of stuff. But the really interesting thing is around the corner, they have created this museum that celebrates 75 years of the house. The entrance is spectacular. So it's like this circular spiral ramp, and installed along all the walls is this amazing sort of rainbow of miniature replicas of some of the best-selling or most influential designs that he's done. And it's sort of shaded in all these different colors from green to red to yellow to it's spectacular. So that really gets you in the mood. And then this is actually the largest permanent fashion space in Paris. And it takes you through the history of the whole label, the amount of extraordinary clothing they've managed to pull together. They've raided their own archives. They've got some of their best customers to give them things. And you can also, and so it puts this all in context because the interesting thing about fashion is, of course, how it relates to what's happening in society at the time. So it gives you that context, and you can even go into the office where Christian Dior used to work. And it's this surprisingly small, surprisingly simple little room. And in that room were born so many over-the-top designs. It's really extraordinary.
It's one of the things to see. Look, the city's had a bit of a transformation too. The mayor, Anne Hidalgo, has apparently made it greener and more sustainable. I mean, it was always pretty busy because of those ancient small streets, in many cases cobbled, of course. But they've given over the central part of it a lot to bikes and pedestrians now.
Yeah, so if you have been to Paris before, you're going to be quite surprised how some of the main thoroughfares, like the Rue de Rivoli, which is right near the Louvre, have just been given over to bikes and pedestrians. So there's been this, Anne Hidalgo has got this big program going to make Paris more sustainable, more green, more pleasant to be in. So she's put in all these bike paths, and there are still more to come. So, and as a result of this, it's been such a difference that there's been a 300% increase in bike sales over the last 3 years.
I presume lots of those e-bikes as well. Are they heaps of
Oh,
those?
yeah. But it's Paris. They're neatly lined up. They're not left lying in the middle of the street, thank goodness, like often happens here. And she's also determined to make one of her other goals is to have half of the area of Paris covered by greenery by 2030. Now you may kind of go, well, where are they supposed to put all of this stuff? But it's a funny kind of retrofitting where they're going to be putting plants and greenery on the Champs-Élysées, on the Place de la Concorde, under the Eiffel Tower. There's a tower. People who've been to Paris will know it. It's the other Paris Tower. So the Eiffel Tower is the elegant, the beautiful, the symbol of the city. The Montparnasse Tower is the only skyscraper in town. It's over on the left bank. It's this big 70s modernist in the context of that, it's a real eyesore. And as part of this plan, they're going to cover it with greenery. They're going to give it a
Oh, is that
facade.
right? I think it's famous. I've been up the top there because there's, I think there's a restaurant at the top, actually. And you're right. It's the only skyscraper in Paris and the only place in Paris where you can get an actual view of the whole
Of the
city,
Eiffel Tower.
of the Eiffel Tower, the whole city. It's so full of museums, Paris, isn't it, that you really you probably have just to pick a few, as you said. And something like the Louvre is so vast, you really have to think, are there some works in there that I want to see? And I'll just go and see those because otherwise it's impossible, isn't it?
Exactly, and you don't want to rush it. And Paris has so many lovely smaller museums too.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of the Rodin Museum, where, featuring some of the sculptor's most beautiful work on the left bank, which is absolutely charming. And there's a new one called the Pinault Collection at La Bourse, and La Bourse is very central again, right near the Louvre, and it used to be the old Stock Exchange. It's a beautiful Belle Epoque building. And so that's now a contemporary art space. And hilariously, when I was in Paris most recently, I had forgotten to book an appointment because, of course, these days it's all timed entry and you have to go online and book. And I kind of went, okay, well, I'm pretty busy, that's fine. But then on a Sunday morning, I had some time and I thought, maybe I can fit it in. And I looked, but no, it was all booked out and I let it go. And then I ran into a friend of mine later that day and I asked what she'd done. And she said, oh, well, I went to La Bourse to see the Pinault collection. I said, oh, how long ago did you book? She goes, I didn't book. And I was like, how did you get in? And she goes, well, I just showed up and asked if they were busy and they said, no one let me in. And of course, I'd forgotten that the French, not that into the So it's worth a try. You may get a no, but you may get a
it's not
yes.
Switzerland or Germany, that's right.
It's
So,
certainly not.
dear, we're talking about Paris with Uta Juncker. This one to so many marvelous things to see, of course. And food and hotels are, of course, all glorious. There's a new hotel called the Cheval Blanc. What's special about that?
Okay, so this is a really interesting story because it used to be an old department store called La Samaritaine, which was very famous, been shut for a long while. And they've sort of rebuilt it, added a new building. So the department store is actually still there, but there's also this Cheval Blanc Hotel. Now, it's outrageously expensive, I'll be quite honest. But what it does have is it's right on the waterfront of the Seine. And so if you go and have a coffee in its cafe, which is on the seventh floor and looks out over the river, you are going to have what I reckon is one of the best views in Paris, all for the price of a coffee. And the lifts are actually really cool too, because the lifts, you're surrounded by the view you would have if you weren't in a building, if you know what I mean. And the view changes as you rise up. It's really clever.
How many? I mean, we talked at the beginning of the conversation about a week in Paris not being enough. What do you think you should? How many days do you think you should allocate to it if you were planning a trip?
Oh, gosh.
I
Well,
know.
I'll tell you, after my most recent trip, and Paris is a city I've been to many, many times, and after my most recent trip, I was like, I'm coming back for 2 months. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I am going to do this. But realistically, look, a week is the bare minimum.
Yes.
2 weeks would be excellent.
2 weeks would be 2 weeks would be good, actually. I think that's right. There
And
are
I think we all want to be Parisians. We've watched the way they behave, and we all want to sort of have a bit of that insouciance, that sort of way of living life a bit elegantly. And it's going to take you a couple of days to relax into that rhythm.
Indeed. All right. Think about it. Paris, your day. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.